In our final presentation, we took a look at the value line, a very potent, powerful research tool. We also took a look at a spreadsheet that we used data from the value line to produce the results from the Gordon growth model, the discounted cash flow model, and the internal rate of return calculation. So now we're going to take a little bit closer look at that, okay? And I apologize if you're looking at this on your phone, it's not going to be very easy to read. But here's the spreadsheet, and again, you can make a copy and play with it on your own. We hope you go through the worksheets and the problems using a 99-cent calculator enough time so that you understand what's going on, then go ahead and use the spreadsheet because it makes life so much easier. So let's take a look at the spreadsheet. And we're going to make it a little bit bigger here by getting rid of this guy. Yeah, okay. Now, all you need to do is put in the data in the shaded areas. And what happens right here is the spreadsheet actually goes out to Google Finance and grabs the current price. So you don't have to touch that one. But notice we're going to use the dividends for the last 7 years, for the current year and the last 7 years. And we're going to grab that from Value Line. And we're going to then use their predicted price, remembering that they give a range and it's up to us to decide what predicted price we want, remembering that we don't put any credence in our actual prediction, realizing it's going to be wrong. And then we're going to take their predicted dividend growth rate. And those are the only pieces of data that you have to type in. You don't even, I should actually unshade this because this is grabbed off the internet for you. But everything else is going to calculate. So now where do we get this data? Now in another presentation, I'm going to show you how to use the Newport Beach Library access to the value line. But really, go to the library, all right? Go to the library. We used to have it at Southwestern online access and they took it away from us. I don't know why. I wasn't involved. I'm no longer a full-time professor, so I don't get, I'm not privy to these decisions. And I'm going to try for next year to have the grant returned, but we'll see what happens. So I have it queued up here on the hard drive. And these are the sheets that have been around for over 90 years. If you've gone through the presentation, you've seen that we've presented this. So you go to the library and you ask for the value line and you get this huge, sometimes it's in one big three-ring binder that has 2,000 pages in it. And other times it's in these little, separated into these little three-ring binders that are separate. But you got to find the index. And then you look for the company you're interested in this case, Johnson & Johnson, and it gives you the number of the, if this is the online version, but it gives you a number right here and you have to go find it in either that huge three-ring binder or lots of little three-ring binders. But what we're, notice this is a sip from the fire hose, folks, as we talked about in the presentation. But I personally don't do anything until I've consulted the value line, all right? I mean, I'm just that way. And especially reading all this good stuff, talks about the company, but this is often where they tip their hat. You know, this stock is top rated for safety, which I love, but the long-term total return potential is below the value line median. Yeah, but it's Johnson & Johnson, okay? It's a company that's been around, what, for 140 years or so? So it's not going to be, a real hard charging growth stock. No, it's one of the, as Peter Lynch calls them, the stalwarts, the blue chip companies. But what are we interested in? We're interested in this line right here. Now I know as soon as I start highlighting, it's going to make everything highlighted. But all we want is this line right here, the dividends. And we're going to start with 2024 and then go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years to 2018. Now you could change the spreadsheet if you want to go back 10 years, to go back 5 years. If you're not too savvy with spreadsheets, contact me. I'll do it for you. So you'll see $4.94, $4.70, $4.45. You'll see that we've put them in here, $4.94, $4.70, $4.45. And we put the last 7 years, and then the spreadsheet calculates the average dividend growth rate. So that's one of the assumptions we're going to use. We're going to say the dividends are going to continue to grow at 5.71. But what you can do is go down to this little section right here. Again, I know it's hard for you to see it if you're looking at your spreadsheet, I mean your phone. And you see the annual rates. They go the past 10 years, the past 5 years, and then their estimate for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. So the dividends for them have been growing at 6%, 5.5%, last 10 years, 5.5%, the last 5 years. And they expect the dividends to grow by about 6% for the next 4 or 5 years or so. See, to 2027, 2029. So we're going to use that. We're going to put that in there right there at 6%. So we filled out the dividends for the last 7 years. We put in their predicted growth rate, which is very similar to what we've calculated the last 7 years. And now here's the tricky part. Here's where this is where judgment comes in. They're saying, you know what? We think that in 2027 or so to 2029, next 3, 4, 5 years, the price of Johnson & Johnson will be between about 200 to 250 or so. And they actually give you the hard numbers over here, 240 to 195. Now, obviously, you know, that's not one number, right? And some people will take the higher number. I tend to take the lower number, or maybe a little bit more. In this case, I might take 200 and be happy with that. What we did in the spreadsheet is we just took the midpoint. We took 195 and added 240 to it, the two numbers, and divided by two, and that gave us a predicted price of 217. That's a little higher than I would normally pick. I would normally pick like 210 or 200 maybe. And so that's where judgment comes in. That's where your judgment, and it takes time, right? It takes time, and sometimes you're going to be very wrong, and sometimes you're going to be right, and you're going to be really proud of yourself. But as we said, the Value Line has a pretty darn good track record, folks. And they make mistakes too, yes, indeed. But no, they have a pretty darn good track record. So then everything else is calculated for you. Here's the Gordon growth model using our calculated average growth rate and the growth rate of that Value Line predicts. And notice that the numbers are fairly straight, fairly close to one another until we get closer to 6%. Remember, the Gordon growth model is extremely sensitive to our choice of the expected dividend growth rate and our required rate of return. So notice that these are at 12%, 83 to 80. Oh, by the way, what's the current price? Current price is 155. It's bouncing around because the market's open right now. And so at 12%, well, we're probably not going to get 12% from a company like Johnson & Johnson. Well, that just makes sense. You know, it's a big company. It's not growing very fast. And then at 10%, it's getting closer to the current price. But then at 8%, the Gordon growth model is saying, oh, yeah, you should get, you know, if all else, you know, if unless the world ends, you should get about 7-8% from Johnson & Johnson. And with a company like that, you just be happy with it. But we're probably going to get better because remember, the price is 150 currently. So this is saying it's probably better than 8%. Well, let's see what the internal rate of return does at the end. Then it calculates for you the, oh, by the way, if the dividend growth rate were greater than 8%, greater than 10%, the model's going to fail, and you're going to get not applicable, NA. You're going to get, I can't compute it because you can't use the model if the dividend growth rate is greater than your required rate of return. But then it does for us the discounted cash flow model with using our average dividend growth rate and then using the Value Line's predicted growth. Come on, I can't get these. My mouse is so sensitive. So it does the dividend discount cash flow model with our data, with our dividend growth rate of 5.71%. And then it does it again using the Value Lines. And what you see is that the price, look at it, within pennies of one another. Why is that? Because ours was 5.71 and the value lines was 6.0, so that's why they're so similar. So notice, and both of them are saying, you know what? We think that Johnson & Johnson is an attractive investment because it's selling for $155, and at 10%, it's worth $165. We think, you know, we don't know that we're going to get these data. We don't know if they're going to get these cash flows in the future. We're guessing that. And at 8%, it's even worth more. And notice how close to one another these are, because our dividend growth rates are very similar. 5.71, though, that we calculated, 6% is what the value line is predicting, and that's why the numbers are so close. 165.49, 165.56, you know, not even 10 cents difference. How these are very close too. Okay, so that was the discounted cash flow model, my favorite. And then we asked the spreadsheet to do the internal rate of return calculation. And at the current price of 155, if we indeed get these cash flows, the internal rate of return is saying we're going to get close to 12% from Johnson & Johnson. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, okay? I think it's probably not going to give us that good a return. But it's also a company that won't give you a very, very bad return. Are you starting to feel the difference between a Johnson & Johnson and a for example, Nvidia, which is, you know, going skyrocketing, in the worksheet number two, Vivos Therapeutics, or when you looked up Neurocrine Biosciences. So you see, it's a big difference, isn't it? A big stalwart like Johnson & Johnson versus these hot startups that could, you know, do 50% in a year. And are you with me? Yeah, I hope so. So now, when you do the value line assignment, you can actually use this spreadsheet. Just make a copy, either download it to Excel, or use Google Docs, and you have to have a Google account. And it's free, and the storage is free, and then start playing with it. And then you can goof with the numbers, start playing. Well, what happens if I get, you know, better dividends over the next 3 years? And then you use the other spreadsheet for that, because that's looking a little forward with the discounted cash flow model. But ultimately, at the very end, when you're done, what do you do? Right, throw it all away. Throw all the calculations you've done away. Read everything you can. Read the annual report. Look at their competitors and ask yourself a very simple question. Do I really want to be part owner of Johnson & Johnson? Yeah? Give yourself the 30-second, 60-second, 90-second pep talk about why it's a good idea to buy it, why it's a good idea to sell it, why it's a good idea to hold it, or just not buy it, whatever. Are you with me? Questions, comments, thoughts? We are so proud of you, dear official investment gurus. Think of the tools that you have available and realize that we're just scratching the surface. There are so many other tools that you have the rest of your lifetime to learn how to use. Yeah. Now, as I said, I tip my hat. I tell you my biases. This is my favorite. And we're going to, in the appendix, and sometime this semester, I'm not sure if we're going to do it in the investment club or some other, maybe I'll do some other thing, some other presentation. I want to show you the stock selection guide. That's a very powerful tool that is through the betterinvesting.org organization that sponsors investment clubs all over the country. So this is just the beginning, dear students, just the beginning. Oh, we're so proud of you. Oh, you are awesome.